The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. Indeed, we are the voice of the Christian resistance all of these years. And tonight, our producer, the fellow that's behind the dials and the digits and the fidgets, is none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Style, on the board. And way out yonder tonight, we have Tuesday night. On this 11th day of April, 2023, we have the infamous parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
It's amazing. I went from one thing to another to finally to infamous. So I'll live with that. Thank you.
Well, that's all right. It's already
not famous but infamous. I notice there's a distinct difference. Words have meaning.
All right. So tell me, infamous, what is the title of the program of the message this week?
Ain't no skeletons in Jesus' closet.
Where have I heard that before, huh?
Yeah.
All righty, ain't no skeleton, and that's a fact, isn't it?
I think there's a song about that.
Well, you know, and that's
by somebody I'm familiar with.
That's good news for a whole lot of us. Now, let's go to, we're going to start tonight in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Okay, the death of Christ, it was uniquely volitional. Joe, in other words, you know, you've been around a lot of guys, been hurt, been sick, suffering, and dying. A lot of them in real pain. But nobody had the ability to say, all right, it's finished, and then die, right in command too. But Christ did, didn't he? He had the power to do that, just to say, okay, it's done. Didn't he always do it?
Yeah.
Everything he said he could do, he would do, didn't he?
Exactly. Because he knew everything before it ever happened to him, what would happen, how. So it was well known to him.
Alrighty, why don't you read verse 51 and stop there?
Oh, 51, okay. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
Okay, what do you think the that was all about? What do you think the symbolism was of that veil being rent from top to bottom?
The temple was basically rendered unholy. It changed the temple forever.
Well, that veil separated the holy from the holies of holies.
Right.
And the holies of holies was entered one time a year on the Day of Atonement, on the Day of Atonement only, by the designated priest to go in there and burn incense and to wait to hear from God, okay?
Right, and he had to, spend a great deal of time purifying himself, and he had to, sacrifice a bullock to shed the blood of a bullock so that he could sacrifice a lamb or a goat for the entire nation of Israel.
So, here, when that happened, when he would go in there, in fact, that veil was around 11 feet high, 11 feet high, and it was 4 to 6 inches thick. In other words, many, many, many layers put together to form this very, very thick veil.
Which makes it terribly strong. It'd be like hundreds of parachute cords wrapped together.
And terribly, terribly heavy.
Yeah.
And so here, but the significance was that it was read from top down. And why do you think that was?
From the top down, just like the hands of God took and ripped it, didn't release the Holy of Holy, because now Christ was risen, and from then on we would be the temple of God, not the temple there in Jerusalem. There would be no longer a Holy of Holies.
Okay, so here now, what you had...
feet was raising to heaven, right?
Okay, well, it was read from top down, showing that it was done supernatural. Like you said, it was the hand of God that did it. Now, at that time, you had the office of the priesthood. Now, when that veil was rent, symbolically, they said the office of the priesthood ended right here. It ends right here. Okay.
Finished. Because now, we became the priest, our own high priest.
So, before that, you would have to prepare a sacrifice, take it to the priest, give it to him, and he would offer it for you. And with your sins, it's a sin offering, and you would repent. But now we, as born-again believers, become a nation of priests, like you said, so we can go directly to the Father, huh?
Well, we have the indwelling of the Father through the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you.
So, why don't we turn really quickly over to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I'd like to let's start with verse 19 in Hebrews 10. And let's go from 19 through 25. Go ahead and start reading.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
So that means that all that came through the Lord Jesus Christ can come to the very throne of God, can't they?
Exactly. We have been made by the remission of our sins of forgiveness. We can stand unblemished in front of the Father.
All righty. Go ahead and read verse 52.
Oh, back in the...
Go back to Matthew 27.
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
Well, a lot of people... Now, the Bible is not in chronological order, is it?
No, it isn't.
So if you tried to read it or try to study it in that way, you'd end up with the old saying, the dog's breakfast of doctrine. But here...
You'd be a little confused.
So when he's referring to the graves were open, this was 3 days later when the Lord was resurrected. So here... the saints whose bodies were raised were those who had died in faith before the first coming of the Lord Jesus, until Christ set them free. Now, their souls, Joe, have been resting in that division of Hades called Abraham's bosom.
Bosom, right.
Yeah. And so, here, what happened? Well, when they arose, they were giving glorified bodies. And for a short period until the ascension, and when Christ ascended, they went with him, didn't they?
Exactly. But when Jesus said, "Tonight you told the thief, tonight you will be with me in paradise," which was Abraham's bosom, and he went there, and of course he would be able to what? Preach to them, and all those that would accept him there as Savior would be saved, and that's why they were able to rise with him.
Absolutely. So let's go to verse 53. Go ahead.
Came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
Okay, so when Christ resurrected, they were too. They went into the holy city. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5, starting with verse 16, I think it was, if I remember.
Yes. Yeah. "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more."
Okay. And so here now, let's go back to Matthew 27 and pick it up and read verse 54 through 56.
Okay. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching, Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children."
Okay, so the mother of James and Joseph, who was that?
James and Joseph was Jesus' mother, Mary.
Right, okay, so very good. And so here now, and many women were there beholding afar off, watching, following Jesus from the Galilee, ministering unto him. I'm going to tell you, can you just imagine being there when this took place? I mean, and here, even the centurion, remember, the earth quaked and the sky got black as night, became night.
Black as night, and the thunder and the lightning, and it said rocks were rent. And it was something that usually didn't happen in a dry desert land like that, did it?
No. And so the centurions were there. When they turned around, not only, the rocks were rent and they were falling over, the centurion said, "Surely this was the Son of God." Would you say that that was a profession of faith?
At that point, yes. That point, I think they believed he was the Son of God, and that would be, I would say, a pretty good, bold profession of faith.
All right. Let's go down to...
Adrian was the head of 100 men and a very professional man, a man of power and authority, and for him to speak out and saying that Jesus was the Son of God would be blasphemy to Rome, right?
Yep. Let's continue on. Let's go over to verse
17.
No, let's pick it up with... we could go to John 17. That's a good idea. Let's go to John 17 and go ahead and read.
All right. He's turned to her, Mary. "Jesus said unto her, saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God."
Well, what it meant in that time, what those words, "touch me not," meant actually, don't hold on to me. So he had not yet ascended. So meanwhile, you had all of those saints that had were resurrected were walking all around. People were seeing them. I mean, could you imagine, you know, seeing someone that you knew 30 years ago? You knew they died. You might have been at the funeral. And here they're walking around. And they're looking better than you because they have a glorified body now. Right?
It would be what I think our word, modern word, would be shock and awe. And it would truly be shock and awe. But what surprises me is you would think that this would have been recorded all in history, and yet there is very little said about it in secular history, about these dead people walking around Jerusalem testifying that they had been raised from the dead.
Well, and the reason for that is people just didn't believe. They didn't believe, okay? But here, let me tell you, it's been the story has been told for 2,000 years, and mm-hmm. somewhere in the world, every single day it's being told, somewhere every single right. day, okay, by many
and
people.
People are believing it today.
Mm-hmm. And when the evening came, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. So he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, then commanded that the body be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped him in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now, there was a soft rock. I was in that tomb in Israel where they say that they're 99.9% certain this was the tomb. This was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And that those tombs were made by the very, very wealthy with three sections. And they're a lot bigger than you might think. And the three sections, one section for the parents and the other two sections for the children. Because in those days, remember, they used to have a number of children.
Right.
And so,
two children.
And so here, I remember watching not long ago a cartoon where they had there was Joseph of Arimathea, and his wife was yelling at him saying, "How dare you let somebody else in our tomb?" And Joseph was saying, "Don't worry about it. He only needs it for the weekend."
Right. He just needs it for the weekend.
Yeah. And so,
that's perfect, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
In a way.
Well, yeah, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet, is there?
Closet. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't leave a big mess when he, you know, had it for the weekend either, did he?
Nope, not at all. Now, here, Joseph was a very, very rich man who lived in Arimathea, so why would they build a new tomb in Jerusalem, especially one in the rock on a hillside close to Golgotha, within easy eyeshot of the cries of the crucified criminals? It could hardly have been planned for himself, right? So here, all the indications, Job, point to it having been prepared way ahead of time to receive the body of Jesus.
And of course, it was hundreds of years before the scripture said that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. God knew where he was going to be married, so it's he led Joseph to build that tomb.
Do you know,
whether he thought it was for him or not.
Yeah, absolutely. The rock of the skull, or the the Golgotha. Back in the 70s, it was real clear. I mean, you would look at it and you would see a skull. I mean, this huge skull. But now, Joe, it's been eroding so bad. It's been eroding where you can hardly even tell anymore that it's the same thing. I mean, it has eroded so much. And you wonder why, after all of these years, Joe, that where it didn't erode, then all of a sudden, just in a matter of, say, 50 years, it eroded almost to the point where it's not. Now, why would that be? Why would that be 2,000 years? Joe, do you think it's possible that when when the time is for the Lord to come back, that face will be eroded totally off. And I think that might be a sign. The other thing too is they let the Muslims, they let the Muslims use the foot of that mountain, that hill there. They let them use it for a junkyard. When I was there, there were all kinds of parts of old cars and everything down at the bottom. It was terrible.
Junkyard. Oh, that I didn't know.
It was terrible. Yeah, to see how they allowed that to become that way. But it was like a real desecration. Let's pick it up.
Matter, they were supposed to use it for something else, and just kind of like Biden defied the rules.
Yeah. Let's go, verse 61. Go ahead and read 61 through 66.
And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and saying to the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch.
Well, it sounds like the chief priest assumed that the disciples were as corrupt and crooked as they were, huh?
Well, that would be logical. Corrupt people think everybody probably are liars, think everybody lies. Corrupt people think everybody cheats, steals.
And so
that's the way the world is, right?
Go over to chapter 28, Joe, and read verses 11 through 15.
All right. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews and to this day.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Here, when he is saying large money, it really had to be large money. How do we know that it had to be very, very, a lot of money?
Well, because the penalty for a Roman soldier sleeping on guard duty was death.
Well, it was worse than death. It was, they would often wrap you in every garment that you owned. They would put on you, soak it in oil, and burn you alive. That was a horrible, horrible way to die. And so
you did not sleep on guard duty. And,
right.
But the thing, I find it hard to believe that the soldiers would think that the Pharisees would have that kind of power to cover their rear end, so to speak.
Well, they would. They probably figured, you know, they're like our politicians of today, you know,
and
that
money, they were willing to pay them, they would pay off Rome too, right?
Right. We'll, you know, and or if they double cross us, we'll just tell them the truth, and they don't. And if that comes out, then Caesar will come against them too. All right, hang tight, Joe. We'll be back right after this.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold. Just like the way that he foretold, with all these things now happening before our eyes. you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords. Sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Alrighty, we are back. Lord of Lord of King of Kings. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, he can't come back soon enough for me, Joe. And he is coming back. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, when he comes back, there's going to be a whole lot of people. Well, before he comes back, the rapture of the church, going to be a whole lot of us that are going to be just overwhelmed with happiness. Unfortunately, going to be a whole lot of people that it won't be. But anyhow, I wanted to say
a lot more are going to be unhappy than happy.
Yep.
I'm afraid. Wish it weren't so, but that's going to be the case. The remnant will be happy.
I want to remind the folks that Salem Communications has made an offer due that is good until the 1st of June. We've made a little progress towards that, but we're far short. If we can come up with an extra 100,000, over the regular, they will knock 50,000 off our bill, which will help us tremendously. Now, at the same time, Joe, if we could get, it would take less than $20,000 for both stations, the one in Portland, Oregon, and Little Rock, Arkansas. Those two stations, we can go back on all we need, but people have to designate it. See, I praise the good Lord for all of those that are supporting us, but they have to designate it to those stations, so when it comes in on that check, it's either got to be written on that check or from that station out there that they're listening to, and then it gets applied to that station, so folks, they could get back on, like I said.
If people call in and say, I sent something in that should have been applied, is it too late to do that?
I don't know. I'm not the one that handles the checks.
Yeah, we don't You and I don't handle money. Yep.
No. Anyhow, so, you know, again, with those two stations, Portland, Oregon, and Little Rock, Arkansas, under 20,000, if someone was just send in and just say, go to Portland, Oregon, and that's that would be 800 a.m. Portland, Oregon is 800 a.m. Or if they were to say going to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, that's 99.5 FM, 99.5 FM. That's where it would go to, of course. You know, we'll take, we need stations for every, you know, we need to stay on all the stations, but folks, if they could do that, that would get those stations, two stations back on right away. And the reason I'm saying that, Joe, is because we get, there's so many really good people out there that write us letters. They're saying, we'll wish you guys were back on. I can listen to you on the internet, but it's a lot harder. And I have to be at home to do it. I can't listen to you like I used to. And so, folks, it's, you know, just pray for it. If you're out there listening and you're listening to us in one of those stations, hopefully maybe somebody with deep pockets listening, they can help us out. Joe, Pope Francis, his Easter address overshadowed by his appearance in Disney documentary discussing sex and porn and transgenderism. This is here, let me just go ahead. Pope Francis revealed his views on sex and described it as one of the beautiful things that God had given to him in person. So the 86-year-old pontiff made the comment in the Disney documentary. The Pope answers, which sees him in a meeting with 10 people in the early 20s captured last year by Rome. Francis was quizzed by them in a variety of topics, including LGBTQ, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer rights, abortion, porn industry, sex, faith, and sex abuse within the Catholic Church. The film by the ultra-woke Disney has the aim of talking and conveying to Francis the main concerns of their generation. When he did denounce abortion and masturbation in keeping with his liberal tradition, he had to pander to the gender ideology, insisting that lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers must be welcomed by the Catholic Church. All persons are the children of God. All persons. Joe, what does the Bible say about them? Do you think maybe he's never read Romans chapter 1?
I was kind of wondering if he'd read much of Scripture at all. I don't think he's read Romans 1.
What about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 14, where it says, to come out from amongst them, be you separate from them.
Be you separate, right.
Okay, so what the devil, that new Disney show that we was talking about, focuses on teen girls' sex with Satan, huh?
Exactly. This, when I first saw this, the title was What the Devil, New Disney Show Focuses on Teen Sex with Devil, Bob Andrew, WorldNet Daily, and this new programming. And it's the programming is a German original by the creators who gave the world How to Sell Drugs Online Fast. Pauline, the main character, just turns 18, becomes pregnant from a one-night stand with Lucas the Devil. Yep, and it's interesting, the executive producers, Matthias Merman and Philip, I can't pronounce his name, Kasboher, said the project is very close to our hearts. This is Disney, the home of Pixar, Mickey Mouse, National Geographic, and now this is not their only foray into the occult. They, back in 2022, we did a story where they had a cartoon that featured a little girl as the Antichrist. It was called The Little Demon, and I'll never forget the cartoon opened with a news report that the sky over her school had been torn open. Mother then drops your dad the devil bombshell on the little girl, and that's how the cartoon starts. This is now Walt Disney. It's time to turn off anything Disney. Keep your kids, your children, grandchildren away, because it is now the occult. It's sexualized. It's demonized. It's everything you don't want your kids exposed to.
The series features demonic witchcraft, pagan rituals, gratuitous blood, gore, nudity, and judging by the trailer, can easily be considered pornographic by definition. And that's Disney of today. So that's the days we're living in. We're living in, what does Jesus call this? The time of sorrows.
Walt Disney would be in tears. If he saw this, read this article, I think Walt Disney would have broken down, cried, gotten on his knees, and prayed.
I saw they had this series on. It was on the YouTube, and I was watching it, and it had to do with Satan. So I thought I was going to take a look. This is something to do with eschatology. And, well, and it wasn't. It was a movie. And in the movie, the Satan was this very handsome, very intellectual fellow, and he was coming to the aid of these people. In other words, he would be in a bar, and there might be a number of bikers. We'd go, and he would be there to protect this pretty woman. And these bikers would come after him, and with his supernatural powers, he would just turn them all every which way but loose. But they were making Satan a real hero in this movie.
A hero, yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, I see exactly, you know, the people behind this. You know, well, Satan is behind it. Okay.
Welcome to the brave new world, right?
Absolutely. And you know what, Joe? The Senate defense bill repeals military law against sodomy and sex with the animals. Now, here, Joe, this is in line with a morally degenerate lifestyle of the majority.
Did you want to do that again? Because I think if most people like me, when you hear that, you went, what did he say?
Okay, the Senate defense bill repeals military law against sodomy and bestiality, sex with animals.
Bestiality, okay.
Now, here recently, now, Joe, they voted 93-7. So recently passed Senate legislation makes sodomy and sex with legal, make it legal under military law, ending the long-standing prohibitions and triggering cries of perversion from conservative groups. But this goes right in line with the degenerate lifestyle of the majority of the U.S. Senate. There were seven senators, and that's about the ones that I can count, that I can think of in the U.S. Senate, that I would say to myself are not perverts. Okay, I hate to say it, but that's true. The bill
you're right.
The bill which the Senate passed 93-7 last week would repeal Article 125 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which states that any person who engages in unnatural carnal copulation with another person of the same or opposite sex or with an animal or guilty of sodomy and found guilty of sodomy would be subject to court martial. Old George Washington went a little further than that. He had them whipped and then discharged. They were whipped and then discharged out of the military.
Because it always messed things up in a military. All over the world, they did not want sodomites in the military.
No. Where I was, when I was in, they had, if we had sodomites back in those days, if they were known or they were caught in an act, they had to wear red tennis shoes. And so everybody would know that, you know, while they were on base, that they were sodomites. So, and if they got caught a second time, they would be discharged. But anyhow, here you go, Joe. Listen to this. I think this is, we could say, way to go, Hunter Biden. Leaked Pentagon documents sketch out scenarios for Israel, arms pipeline to Kiev. Media, it is reported that one of the documents says that the Jewish state likely will consider providing lethal and under increased U.S. pressure or perceived degradation in its relationship with Russia. In other words, Israel is supposed to provide the Ukraine with some very deadly weapons, and a statement that the Biden regime is so afraid. How many of these other countries now are lining up with Russia because Russia is beginning to look morally superior to the United States, especially with the so-called Biden regime? It goes on to say, New York, April 10th, TASS, the classified Pentagon and U.S. intelligence documents that were recently leaked and appeared on the Internet sketch out potential scenarios in which Israel would supply Ukraine with lethal weapons, reported. According to the media outlet, one of the documents titled Israel, Pathways to Providing Lethal Aid to Ukraine, says that the Jewish state likely will consider providing lethal and under increased U.S. pressure or a perceived degradation in relationship with Russia. In other words, he goes on to say, NBC News specified that on February 28th, document assessed hypothetical situations that might drive Israel to provide military aid to the Ukraine, as well as the types of weapons that could make up such deliveries to Kiev. The so-called Turkish model is regarded as the most likely scenario, wherein Israel sells lethal defense systems or provides them through third-party entities, while openly advocating for peace and offerings for the host of mediation efforts. Under an alternative scenario, Moscow's support for Iran and Syria may prompt Israel to provide Ukraine with lethal aid. So, Joe, you can't believe anything, and especially comes from the Biden White House. It is completely, absolutely corrupt. There's not anything. Not anything at all that's not corrupt in that White House. And my guess is that they're leaking this stuff on purpose to weaken and to further destroy the world's trust in our military. What do you think?
Well, that entire leak, we've been seeing all kinds of stories that are coming out. Now they're saying that we're going under the assumption that the leak came from outside. So when they say that, it means they're telling me the leak came from inside.
Yep.
Because everything that Biden has said so far, whatever is the opposite of what he's saying, is the truth. We know now that they're finding out that he knew all of Hunter Biden's associates. He knew all about Hunter Biden's business dealings, and on and on and on. So he's done nothing but lie. So I would just assume this leak, if they're claiming it's outside, it means it's inside. But there's so much, there was stuff about Egypt going to be giving arms, and with all this disinformation, that leads me to another story that makes me wonder, because right now the big news out there to me is artificial intelligence. And there was a story from the Daily Mail, Jen Smith in London, every parent's worst nightmare. Now, this does tie into what it didn't sound like it, but terrifying new AI scam cloned teenage girl's voice and called her mother, demanded $1 million ransom. So this mother received a terrified call from her child begging and pleading and crying. Jennifer DeStefano received the demand about her 15-year-old daughter Bree this week. She panicked, and she was told that her daughter was gagged on the way to Mexico. Well, make a long story short, she was on a ski trip and was safe. Fortunately, the mother had several women around at the time this call came in. They immediately called the police, one called the daughter's cell, one called the husband's cell, and the mother found out that this was a scam. But she said, the voice, you know, help me, Mom, please help me, and crying. And she said, this was her daughter's voice. This was her daughter's cry. And she just had trouble believing it was not her daughter. It was so real. So now Mrs. DiStefano is warning other parents about the danger of this new fast-developing technology. It said her daughter didn't have a public social media account, but her voice could be heard on some interviews that were carried out for her school and sports. So somewhere somebody got her voice from a little clip on a story school or school sports team, took a few seconds of her voice and was able to impersonate her so she fooled the mother.
Well, you know, Joe, we mentioned this some years ago when this subject came up, the scenario that, you know, I had literally expected long before now for the opposition to try to hack into us and do that with our voices, but not just us, with everybody. And you know, when President Trump was in office, they could have, tried to hack in and use his voice. So I believe that they have taken some precautions about that.
Do you remember just a few weeks ago, remember the artificial intelligence took pictures of Donald Trump, and they had all over the international papers, Donald Trump being arrested, Donald Trump running from the police, trying to arrest him for, Department of Justice warrant for his arrest, and his wife in tears and begging them not to take him away.
If
you looked at these pictures, they were so real, you could not tell them from real. So now we can, the voice, crying, pictures can be so real. I mean, I looked at them and said, that's Donald Trump.
Do you remember that movie, Jailhouse Rock, with Elvis Presley?
Way back, kind of.
Yeah, well, on the internet, they've got Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit with all these jailhouses, and Donald Trump, he's singing Jailhouse Rock, and it is funny. But you have to see him. He's going through all the moves like Elvis did, when he gets to that part, he's got Sleepy Joe blowing on a slide trombone, and there's a picture of Biden that looks just like Biden with a trombone. But wow. it is funny if you see this, because my old Donald, he is really shaking a leg.
Shaking away. But this other story, they had him in a jail in an orange jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah.
And I would not have guessed it was fake. I mean, never would
they've
I.
They've been doing that for a while, I've seen.
Yeah.
And you got to be very careful. I try to explain to people, and I know, even the church that I pastor, we're like a really strong knit family. I mean, we are really
a church family, a true.
Yeah,
church family.
I mean, it's a real truth church family, and I mean, we're very, very close. And I have to explain sometimes, because we are some folks that are good people, but they fall for a lot of this stuff sometimes. And you'll have pictures. They've had Hillary Clinton. They've had Hillary Clinton at Gitmo. They've had her in the gallows. And it looks real. I mean, this stuff looks very real. The same thing they've got, on the internet, they've got Joe Biden in the jumpsuit. And all these stories out that the real Hillary has been executed, and then the real Biden, all of these stories. And unfortunately, some very good people... they're taken in by a lot of this stuff, and I have to tell them, you can't believe everything that you see on the internet. You got to be very, very, very discerning.
Now you can't believe everything you hear, everything you see, and now there's a warning from Gary Marcus. Gary is a PhD professor emeritus.
Emeritus.
Yeah, Emeritus, thank you. I couldn't. It was just not coming out. Cognitive science at New York University. And he is warning about AI should scare voters, expletive deletive, about the 2024 election because of what could be done with this AI artificial software. He gave some examples about a Chicago mayoral candidate, Paul Vallis, and fake recording where he was downplaying police shootings and stuff. And he gives several examples, but he said it was so simple, so easily done. And the computer people now, so he's putting out a warning. We have to be very, very careful about anything said about a candidate, about the election, about something said at a speech, somebody saying no, they're not going to vote for.
Yeah, Joe, just last night, I went in, we were talking about, just on last night's program, if you remember, the Biden's White House now has set up a special staff within there. It's a disinformation staff. This is exactly right. What they're there for. To put them up
staff
there.
And well paid.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, and you see that sinister smirk on Biden's face when he was asked about, what do you think about President Trump's arrest? And by the way, Biden was directly linked to the raid on Trump's home. We knew that all along. We said that. We said that. Right from the beginning, that we knew that this was directly under Biden's orders, okay? Well, finally, they're admitting it. Now, today, they're admitting it.
Well, and what happened, American First Legal somehow came and got some actual proof. They now have the records. What happened, President Biden, through a special access request, it was done. The only thing, this is a presidential thing, the special access request. And it was documents obtained from the National Archives by America's First Legal. The report confirmed that the FBI got access to records through the special access request that was directly from the Biden White House on behalf of the Department of Justice. They have the actual records, and in the report they say the office, the Inspector General acted independently, making a referral to the FBI, and then talk about a certain person would not have involved himself, this Mr. Laster, in the review of these boxes, 15 boxes, in his capacity as the director of the White House Liaison Division, who's responsible for all access requests for the presidential records. So they've got the info from the man that has access to all presidential records that handle all these access reports. So it's proven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All righty, we'll be back. We're coming up to a break, so after this break, we will be right back with a whole lot more, right?
More.
Okay, be right back, I think. Okay, let's count these down. 8, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.